Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the August 6th, 2023 service at Plymouth, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Patricia Berger. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Next is the hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Next is the hymn, Alleluia.
Thank you.
The first scripture reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. A reading from the book of Genesis. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. That same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford at Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that they had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God's face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the thigh muscle that is on the hip socket, because he struck Jacob on the hip socket of the thigh muscle. The word of the Lord. Next is the hymn, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet
reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We've nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Our gospel reading for today is one of those where it's easy to get caught up in the details and miss the main point of the whole passage. Jesus went away to a place by himself, and 5,000 men showed up, not to mention the women and the children. It got to be about dinner time, and the disciples suggested that Jesus should send the people home, and Jesus said to the disciples, "You feed them." They came up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and all 5,000 men, not to mention the women and not to mention the children, were fed, and 12 baskets of leftovers were kept. Jesus had been teaching the disciples about their God, the God who keeps on caring. That God is the same one about whom Jacob learned in today's verses from Genesis that Gina read for us. Jacob, whose name means heel, and who had been acting like one for most of his life, was about to meet with his brother Esau. And you remember that Jacob had tricked Esau out of his birthright and out of their father's blessing. Jacob may have been a heel, and he had some smarts. So he sent significant gifts in advance to Esau and his family, many animals, many slaves. And then, as our reading begins, he sends his wives and his maids and his children and all of his belongings. Perhaps if Esau hasn't been impressed with the gifts, at least he'd be kind in front of the women and children. While Jacob waited on the other side, he ended up in a wrestling match with a man, or as it turns out, with our God who keeps on caring. God had plans for Jacob. And so God would change Jacob's name. One whose name is Israel, which means striving with God and prevailing, might accomplish a fair amount more for the kingdom than one whose name was Heal. We can only hope. The disciples knew Jacob or Israel's story, and they were learning the story that was Jesus. We all know enough of what Jesus could do and did regularly that we know that he could have made it so that all of those people, the men, the women, and the children, felt full without ever having been fed. Jesus could have done that. And we remember, way back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he was tempted in the desert to turn stones into bread,
to feed the hungry. He could have done that on this day too. Instead, he took bread. The fish seemed to have disappeared. And when I think about serving communion, I'm grateful that the fish disappeared. Took the bread and he broke and blessed it and gave it to the people, which sounds familiar to us. He did what we read about him doing on many occasions and what the church has done regularly throughout these many years and what we will do shortly. He took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it, and all were filled. And the disciples did as our servers will do. They gathered all that was left over. It could be that this is a miracle story, and it's not written that way by the one who wrote the gospel according to Matthew. Think of other miracle stories. Here we don't read of people being amazed. No one asks, who is this? There's no report of new believers. And we aren't told that Jesus' fame spread throughout the region. None of that is in this account. What we have is a story of compassion, a story of feeding those who are hungry, a story that's been primary in the church ever since. As one commentator reminds us, Jesus said, the question, what did you do in the face of human hunger, would be on the final exam. We haven't done enough, and we don't do it often enough, and followers of Jesus always, always respond in the face of hungry men and women and children. Whether long-term efforts like food banks in your area, food drives that groups do, the jars of peanut butter that keep multiplying in our fellowship hall, or emergency relief like the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Program, our volunteer hours and our offering dollars and those of others like us work at this facet of being church and being followers of whom Jesus would be proud. Apparently, by the time the writer of the Gospel of Matthew recorded this story, feeding was enough a part of what the church did that it was not thought to be miracle. It was the norm. It was replayed, as we will do in a few minutes, every time the church gathered at the table. May it ever be so. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence with us, for your reminders to us of who we are and whose we are, and what response that means for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Next is the hymn, Love the Lord Your God.
Lord, your God.
now go out into the world to be God's caring people, always knowing that you are held by holy hands with a love that will not